I don't know how you came by this record, but you are now embarked upon a journey that must certainly lead you to change your life forever. If you were never a special person, you are a special person now. Hello, Seeker. Now,
our next guest on Downtown is an actor, writer, voice actor, podcast host, author, founding member of the Fire Sign Theater, and we're so happy to have him back with us on Downtown. Philip Proctor joining us. Phil, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Believe me, I'm happy to still be here.
Well, yes, since last time we spoke, you've become bionic since the last time you were on.
That's right. I now have a pacemaker defibrillator implanted in my upper left corner of my chest, and thank goodness it hasn't really had to work very hard since they put it in.
I'm glad to hear that. Now, you can still use the microwave. That's just urban legend, right?
I can't use the microphone.
Oh,
that's the only problem, so I don't work anymore.
I'm sorry to hear that. I know better than that. You're still the hardest working man in show business.
Well, you know, it's true. I'm almost 80 years old. I've been in the business since I was 9, doing live television, and I've had a very lucky career, a very successful career. And of course, the craziest thing, as you just played, Everything You Know Is Wrong, the opening to a Fire Sign Theater album. And for those young punks out there who have no idea what I'm talking about, we're kind of the Monty Python of America before there was Monty Python, okay? And we were, over the length of a 50-year career doing records primarily, we created the long-form comedy record as a new form of listening to records, because we wanted people to listen to them over and over and over again. And over the length of these years, we were nominated for 3 Grammys, and the Library of Congress last year purchased the Fire Sign Theater archives for $500,000.
And you also warped my childhood, but that's neither here nor there.
I know. Not responsible. So basically, we'd lost 2 of our members, Peter Bergman and my dear friend Phil Austin, but David Osman and I are still performing. And in fact, we'll be in Hawaii in April on the Big Island doing a show we called The Art of Radio. Radio. And another short a children's piece, children's audio piece. So that's happening. And then I also wrote a play with a fellow named Sam Joseph called God Help Us, starring Ed Asner as God. Of course. And it's touring the U.S. and Canada to very enthusiastic sold-out houses.
Well, so I wanted to mention that to you because actually Ed is a good friend of the show, and we're bringing Ed to town next spring to do God Help Us right here.
Wow, that's terrific! Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, Ed has been an absolute angel to us, and he's still got such wonderful comic energy. He's such a dynamic man to watch, and really, he is the perfect casting for this silly God character that we've created.
Well, and I just read the script. His daughter Liza sent it to me, and I was reading through it last night, and man, it's great and so perfectly timely for what's going on in the world today.
Yeah, that's right, Rich. We tried with this play, and I think we succeeded, judging from the audience responses, to give a fair and balanced look at the arguments on either side between the divided factions that threaten to tear our country apart. You see, God is concerned that if we don't come to some kind of an understanding with one another, we may throw the entire universe out of whack. So he calls two pundits, a woman who's conservative and a man who's liberal, brings them together in purgatory to debate for him the questions of the day. And it turns out, of course, that this couple was a couple back in college, and that they have a real personal history together, and that plays a role during the course of the unfolding of this very interesting play.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that coming up in April. You also wrote a wonderful book, and the last time we were on, we talked about Where's My Fortune Cookie? That became a podcast, which was hugely successful, won several awards, and was even considered for a Grammy.
Well, it is, we don't know if we will be. Yes, we're being considered for a Grammy. And on the 27th, I'll find out if indeed I'm in the running for it. I kind of hope I will be. But I had a very strange experience. I ended up not being able to vote for my own record. Okay, it's been released, I should explain, in a 5-CD set, which is available on Amazon.com. But it was originally, as you pointed out, a very popular podcast. So I naturally went online to vote for myself for a nomination. But I couldn't get my password to work. Right? How many of you out there have had similar experiences, but never anything like mine? I couldn't vote for myself. So if I lose by one vote, it will be my own fault.
Did you try password as your password?
I should have. I should have tried password backward. Back password. That would have been fine. But anyway, be that as it may. And it was. The book is selling well still, and I got getting wonderful responses on Amazon.com from readers. They've rated it, 100 million stars, and it's really fun to know that it's out there and that people are enjoying it. And the stories that I have to tell, of course, are still going on, so there might be a sequel, for people, again, who don't quite know what that book is about. It's about the psychic history that kind of led me through my life and my experiences in show business and the amazing coincidences that happened to me along the way. So if you're all interested in that invisible world and how it affects you, you should give the book a read. I think it will be not only astounding to you, but it may encourage you to listen to your inner voices. It may help you find your own path towards success and love and laughter.
Well, the book is wonderful, and you've worked with everybody in the business through the years, and I wanted to bring up one of the people that you knew quite well, you became very good friends with from an early age and just passed away recently. Can you talk a bit about the great Peter Fonda?
Yeah, Peter was one heck of a great guy. His sister, of course, is also still an amazing power out there. And Peter only became politicized later in his life. And when I knew him, we were pretty much outrageous stoned hippies, okay? And what happened, which is explained in the book, is that I'd been fated to meet a young actor named Brandon DeWilde. By young, I mean he was the boy in a movie called Shane.
Right.
Shane, come back, Shane! And he became, a Hollywood star. And we became pals because I understudied him on an off-Broadway show. To make a long story short, we became very close friends. We drove across country together, and he had an entree to Peter Fonda, I guess through his movie work, Brandon's movie work. So we ended up visiting him at his beautiful hidden estate, and we all became like the Three Musketeers and started hanging out together and going to the music scene together, because Brandon was trying to change his career into a musical career. And we met all kinds of incredible people, including, of course, we were hanging out with David Crosby all the time. And I always wondered why we would hang out with David, besides, singing together and having fun. And I found out when I saw Crosby's documentary, which is out in theaters, the director of Easy Rider, why is his name escaping me? Dennis Hopper. Dennis Hopper wanted to create his character, to base his character on David Crosby.
Right.
So basically, because I knew Hopper too, Fonda and Hopper and Brandon and I would be hanging out with Crosby, and Hopper was taking notes. Okay? And if you see that performance, again, you see the film Easy Rider, you'll see David Crosby epitomized and somewhat exaggerated, but not much, by Dennis Hopper. So anyway, we hung out a lot together. And at the time, he was, of course, doing research for Easy Rider, which originally was called Captain Marvel.
Right.
Because that was going to be his character. But, of course, the Marvel Comics wouldn't let him use that name. So he got the name from Terry Southern. An Easy Rider is a guy who lives off of a prostitute. okay?
Mm.
And so, in other words, the easy life. And so he was doing research on this movie, Peter, and we all went down together to the Sunset Strip in the 60s when they were trying to impose a curfew on the young people to prevent them from basically smoking pot in the streets and protesting the Vietnamese War, okay? They wanted to stop that political activism. So they called a curfew, and of course everybody, all the kids, we all came down there to defy the police. And we had the police, L.A. police on one side, and the sheriffs on the other side, and they did one of these pincer movements and, you know, beat everybody up. And I was writing for a paper called The East Village Other, so I held my press card up, and it scared the police, and they left me alone. But during that event, I sat down on an open issue of the L.A. Free Press as part of a sit-down, you know, we won't move protest. I pulled it out from under my butt, and I had sat on Peter Bergman's face. Peter Bergman was the guy I went to Yale with who wrote the lyrics for two musicals I starred in, written by Austin Pendleton, Booth Is Back in Town and Tom Jones, where I played the title role. And I had no idea what Peter was up to. And it was a picture of him interviewing some returning war veterans. And it said, KPFK newsman, Peter Bergman. I went, oh, he's with KPFK. So the next day, after we bailed Brandon out and tended to Peter's baton wounds, I called up Peter Bergman. And he said, hi, Phil, I'm the Wizard of Oz. Why don't you come down and play with me? I said, what, Peter, have you gone off the deep end? He said, oh, let me explain. I do a show on KPFK from like 10 to 12 or 1 called Radio Free Oz. And I'm the Wizard of Oz. It's a very popular counterculture call-in talk show, which he kind of invented. So I go down there that night, and I meet these two other guys, Phil Austin and David Osman, who are associated with the show. And we discover that we're all, since the show is based on New Age ideas and astrology and tarot cards and all that, we discovered that we were all fire signs. I'm a Leo, two Sagittarians, David and Peter, and an Aries, unfortunately, Phil Austin. So Bergman immediately gets this idea to call us the Oz Fireside Theater, and we all started improvising together and found that we were like long-lost brothers or jazz musicians, you know, who had gigged together over the years. Our improvs were fast and furious and funny. We all had a very similar kind of absurdist, surreal sense of humor. We were all fans of a thing called the Goon Shows with Spike Milligan and Peter Sellers, which was very surrealistic comedy in England. The Monty Python approach to everything. We had it. We loved it. And before we knew it, we had a record contract to do our first record, Waiting for the Electrician or someone like him. and it took off from there until finally we did this record called Nick Danger Third Eye, which everybody could relate to. Okay, because it was a takeoff on detective movies and detective radio and all that stuff. And that became a big success for us and kind of put us on the map. And then we went on to make other records like Don't Crush That Dwarf, Hand Me the Pliers, you know, How Can You Be in Two Places at Once When You're Not Anywhere at All? And a very interesting one, I Think We're All Bozos on This Bus. Now stop me if I'm talking too much.
Not at all.
Good, I know, because the best thing that a radio host can do is not have to talk. Right?
Exactly. Just get out of the way.
Get out of the way. So anyway, I Think We're All Bozos. Each one of these records is like a futuristic prediction, and that's why they're still pertinent today. You can listen to our albums in downloads, and you'll find them just as pertinent and predictive as they were then. So what we tackled in Bozos, I Think We're All Bozos on This Bus, was the computer revolution.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, the early 70s. And we predicted all kinds of things about the future of computers. Now, I'm going to play you something. I'm going to ask Siri a question and see what she says. Hold on, let me find it. Come on, Siri. All right. This is Worker speaking. Hello.
Hello, Aklem. What function can I perform for you? LOL.
All right. I'm Clem. It's the character that we created
right.
for this record. I was a worker who had been fired, and so I hack into the mainframe computer, Dr. Memory, Direct Readout Memory, and I plant a virus that brings down this entire future fair, which the government has organized in order to make people feel that they're living in Disneyland, okay, and forget their problems, their troubles. So why is it on the iPhone? Well, I did voices for a lot of these animated films at Pixar and Disney. One of the first ones I did was A Bug's Life. And Dave Osman was in that too, by the way, another Fireside member. And so we go up to this big party that they had at the Capitol building in San Francisco or something. I don't know where the heck it was. You've been to one party, you've been to them all. And you walk down red carpet, you walk down a wall. So anyway, I meet Steve Jobs. And Steve says to me, "I'm a big fan of yours." And I said, "Well, you're tall, but I'm glad to know that." All right. Then when we were gathering our material together to send to the Library of Congress a couple of years ago, we're going through all of these photographs. Our archivist, Taylor Jessen, sends a picture of this around to us. He says, "Look what I found. We were signing records at a record store in Berkeley, and among the people who were posing with us was a young Steve Jobs."
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
That is amazing.
So he put that in there as an homage to the Fireside Theater, because when he heard our record, it inspired him to continue to develop the computer for home use. So I'm happy. That's another happy story I could share.
And I was inspired a different way. When I'm not on the radio, I teach high school, and we had a pep rally a couple of weeks ago, and as I headed to it, the first person I saw, I had to say, "Where's your school spirit?" But nobody replied properly by saying, "In the rumble seat, want to snort."
That's right. Eat it raw. Raw, raw, raw. That's
the
spirit we had here. Yeah, that was Principal Poop.
Yes.
He was heading that pep rally. Pep pills, pep pills, pep pills. More pep pills. You see? Still contemporary.
Yes, I'm hoping someday to get a job, but more science high.
Yeah, now I want to mention two other things that are going on, which I think are pertinent to the time. And I'm going to have to be very vague about these things.
Okay.
Because neither of them has been released yet. I told you that I collaborated with a fellow named Samuel Warren Joseph on our play, God Help Us, which I hope you can all get tickets to and enjoy when it comes up in April. Get them now.
Yes.
Going fast. We just finished, just yesterday, we finished the final chapters of a book we're putting out, the title of which I'm not supposed to tell you now, but it's basically Talking Points for Liberals. It'll be a little handbook of talking points for liberals in a dialogue, a family dialogue, which is both funny and a little surreal, but also based on a lot of facts. And we're hoping to get Tom Hartman or someone like him to write a foreword, because it's basically for a liberal audience. We're not aiming for the right-wing audience, but they may find it interesting, because it's talking points and questions and answers and things. Now, so that'll be coming out, we hope, very soon. I also worked on a movie I can't talk about, which is a contemporary political satire that blends elements of horror movies with contemporary people, personalities, and events. Okay? And people like Robert De Niro will be doing cameos in it. I can't really talk about some of the other famous people that are in it, because it's just being wrapped now. It's kind of a top-secret project in many ways, but they hope to have it out before the election, if that gives you any kind of a clue.
And was this the one where you may or may not have been playing a certain president of the United States?
No. Luckily, I did not have to pretend to be a president.
Oh, good.
I played an executive, a television executive, who had to deal with a guy who wanted to become president.
Excellent. Well, we'll look forward to those. And people,
again, I can't talk about
it. No, it's top secret. People would be wise, though, to get more information and stay up to date on what you're doing by subscribing to Planet Proctor, and that's
Planet
easy
Proctor.
Enough to do. PlanetProctor.com.
That's right, planetproctor.com. I started that during a lull in the Fireside Theater's career, maybe 25 years ago, because I had to keep writing comedy, or it would back up on me and hurt me, you know? So it would have been constipated comedy, which is not fun.
It's not the best, no.
So I wanted to keep the comedy flowing, and I started collecting stuff off the Internet and putting it together in a kind of a newsletter, which I guess is called a blog now. I don't know. And as it progressed, I connected with a wonderful graphic artist named Christopher Gross, who lives up in Lake Arrowhead. And he volunteered his services to start to put in artistic elements to Planet Proctor. And we've had a collaboration now for about 15, 16 years, and it really is an exciting thing to look at. I'm about ready to send another one out, and I send one out every month. And it's free. You just subscribe to it. Well, what is it called? Chimp Mail, I think, is distributing it now.
Yes, yep.
But if you go to the website, you'll find a way to sign up for it. Or you can contact me as well at phil.proctor@mac.com, and I'll send you the link. But anyway, I love seeing what he does with it every month. I'll send you the material. Let me clear my throat. Your throat has been cleared, sir. You may continue. Thank you very much. Anyway, I just love seeing the surprises of the things he comes up with. The graphics are just mind-boggling.
Sign up, get the book, Where's My Fortune Cookie, and keep following the further adventures of Philip Proctor. Phil, it's great again to talk with you. Thanks so much for making time for us, and I hope the Grammy thing comes down to less than one vote and you're able to sneak that thing through.
Thank you, Rich. Listen, I'll let you know what's going on. And I'm going to be spending Christmas in Connecticut. So I'll send good thoughts up north to you and the gang.
We appreciate it. Thank you again, Phil. Be well.
Love to all.
Bye-bye now. Phil Proctor here on Downtown. Again, planetproctor.com.